On University of West Georgia Week, red light districts were turned off during World War II, but did the crackdown work? I'm Dr. Lynn Pascarella, president of the Association of American Colleges and Universities. And today on the Academic Minute, Stephanie Chalet-Fou, assistant professor of history, explores how sex workers took to the road during this time.
My research examines the commercial sex market in the U.S. South during the 1940s and 1950s. During World War II, concerns about venereal disease led military officials and public health reformers to conduct a national campaign to close down red light districts. The campaigns met with mixed success in both repressing prostitution and reducing infection rates. After the war, national efforts to repress prostitution faded as sexual commerce rebounded. Local communities assumed the responsibility of purging vice from their towns, motivated more by concern for public morals instead of public health. In the ensuing efforts to close down vice districts, sex workers adapted by traveling in a series of organized commercial sex markets throughout the South. The increased mobility afforded some women freedom and independence. However, the new system of constant movement created an opportunity for sex traffickers to exploit women. What does this area of study tell us about gender, sex, and the South in the 1950s? Urbanization and industrial manufacturing flourished during and after World War II in the South. The economic landscape of the region changed and grew, but was not accompanied by parallel changes in a culture that held deeply entrenched ideas about sexual, racial, and gender hierarchies. Women's economic and sexual independence depended on the legal and cultural codes of behavior to which Southerners were expected to adhere. The South criminalized and demonized women's sexual behavior when it challenged convention, while providing few alternative economic opportunities for women.
That was Stephanie Chalet-Fou of the University of West Georgia. You can find this, other segments, and more information about the professors at academicminute.org.
Production support for the Academic Minute comes from AAC&U, Advancing Liberal Learning and Research for the Public Good.